Here in Luke chapter 14, just want to share a few things from the scripture this evening. And of course, tonight we thought about what the Lord's done for us in providing salvation and coming to this earth and all that he's suffered. And we as Christians know that we're very blessed to have come to know him. And you think about the many, many people around the world that still don't know the Lord as their Savior. Some people have heard and just reject it. Other people maybe are contemplating it. But there certainly are many people around the world that still need to hear and need to be challenged and taught. Think about the woman at the well, where she had some religious ideas and understanding, but Jesus had to show her that and tell her who the Messiah was. And so that's a big need that this world has, to tell people. Here in Luke chapter 14, and also into chapter 15, we'll just sort of point out a few things. There's a lot of verses you could look at, but I just want us to notice mainly three main points as we have a few minutes this evening to look into God's Word. And they sort of relate to this idea. We notice here a larger story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 14. Look in verse 15. It says, "And one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him," that's Jesus, saying to this guy there that he's eating with, and he goes on to tell this story about a man who made a great supper, and he went and invited people, and they began to make excuses. Notice in verse 18, you know, one says, in verse 18, it says, "They all with one consent began to make excuse." You know, so here they're being bidden or invited, encouraged to come to this supper, and they make excuse. And so it's interesting to see the response of this person that had made the dinner or invited these people to the supper. Notice in verse 21, after he lists the three excuses that people make, notice it says in verse 21, "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." You know, notice several things there. I think here we notice the master's great desire. And obviously this is an illustration of God himself, and this desire that, notice his desire though. This is one of the main things I'd like us to know. What is his desire in this story? "That my house may be filled." You just stop and think about that. That's obviously the Lord's desire, isn't he? He's not willing that any should perish. He would love it if every person would come into his house and partake of this supper. But we all know that for one reason or another, many people don't, for various reasons. Some, you know, that you would expect to be there, they're not going to be there because they're making excuses or whatever. But just think about it. His desire is that his house be filled. Just go out there and compel as many as you can to come in. And think about that. The servant comes back and says there's still room. So notice we see several things there that the master gets angry. He gets angry. What makes him angry in this story? It's when people don't take advantage of an opportunity that they have. Here's a great opportunity to be there, a part of this meal, and they make excuses why they can't come. And so that makes the master angry. And so it shows us that when we don't take advantage of opportunities that are right there before us, it doesn't make the master happy, does it? But notice also he says, we see that he wants people to go out quickly and urgently. There's a sense of urgency to get this message out. We see that also in verse 21. He says, "Go out quickly into the streets." You know, don't just sit around and wait around. This is something we need to get done now. So he gets angry when people don't take advantage of great opportunities. They don't realize what they're missing, and so they think they can just put it off. But also when there's an opportunity that isn't taken advantage of, he says, go out and quickly get this done, because the master wants his house full. And so obviously here, this is a great lesson for the Jewish people. The people that were eating with him would have been the kind of people that looked down upon the halt and the maimed and the blind and the poor. And so that was part of his point here, was that Jesus loves everybody. And going out into the highways and hedges is most likely a reference to going out even to the Gentiles. Just go out everywhere in the world. Now, how many people would it take to fill the master's house? Well, that's something we don't really know, isn't it? So we have to keep inviting, keep compelling, keep going quickly, keep sensing the master's desire that the message gets out to each and every person, because his house, you know, can fit everybody if everybody would respond, and he's not willing that any should perish, but we know that many do reject him. But I want us to see here that his desire is for his house to be filled. But we also see something else that's important to notice. The story goes on. If everybody's going to be invited, he wants people to understand what it takes to follow him. And that's what the story goes on in chapter 14. This invitation goes out to everybody. But notice in verse 25, it says, and there went great multitudes with him. And obviously he wants everybody. He would love for great multitudes to follow him. But oftentimes people would turn their back on him. Because there's something to understand about, you might be invited to the supper, but it's a great cost involved, really, with following Jesus. And that's what he wants people to understand. God's great desire is that his house be filled, but there's also a great cost involved with following him. And so he goes on to explain to these multitudes of people that have been invited and compelled to come and follow him. Basically, it's this. He gives that illustration. You've probably remember it. He talks about a king going to battle or somebody building a building. They sit down and plan in advance what's needed to accomplish this. And basically, he's challenging these people that are going to follow him with the cost involved. And it is in verse 26 and 27. So the great cost. If you're going to follow Jesus, what is it going to cost you? Look in verse 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Pastor reminded us of what the cross cost Jesus and all the suffering that he went through. All the rejection and great torture. And it's interesting that that's often what Jesus uses to remind his followers of the cost involved with following him, being a disciple of his. And many people, the cost becomes too great and they abandon him. They might try for a while, they might follow for a while, but then, you know, just like in the parable of the soils, many were choked by the cares of the world, or the weeds grew up, or the stony ground, and, you know, they dry out. And so it might look like for a while there's something there, but no fruit is born. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them, don't we? And so we have to realize that there is the invitation is to everybody. Compel them. Go out quickly and tell them, and don't lose that sense of urgency. But we have to, as part of our training and discipling people, help them to understand there is a great cost involved, isn't there? And we have to sort of sit down and realize, you know what? I'm going to have to change things. Following Jesus is going to require of me a willingness to surrender my will completely. You know, we all know that there's certain things that people face. It could be their father or their mother or their friends or material possessions that get in the way. And Jesus says you have to be willing to hate them. And it's not that, you know, when we think of the word hate, we think of, doing mean things to people, almost like they're our enemy. It's not really that. When the Bible uses the word hate many times, it's the idea of preferring something above something else. So it's not that I literally hate my father and think of him as my enemy now, but I can't let him or anybody else or anything else come before God. I have to do the will of the Father more. I have to love that more than anything. I have to prefer. So when I have a choice to make, should I do this or should I do what I want? I have to be willing to prefer anything that Jesus asks of me. And that's a tricky thing for many people because oftentimes it involves submitting to human authority. And people many times will get tripped up and say, well, I'm not going to do what he says. That's not really in the Bible or whatever. But we have to many times be willing. God uses people in our lives, human authorities in our churches and in our families to help us and show us what his will is for us. And so that trips up a lot of people. Just the looking around and the comforts of life, or maybe just living in America. Living in America might be something that people are not willing to give up. Maybe it's the grandchildren. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want my kids to leave me or move away, and that can be trick people up. Many different things. Jesus says you have to be willing to prefer me more than anything else in this world. And we realize that that is a tough thing for so many people. And so the parable of the soils, that's a good example. There's many cares of this world and things that choke people up and dry people out, and they just give up and abandon Christ. And so he says, sit down and think about what is the great cost. So the great desire of God is that his house be filled. But does that mean just everybody's going to be in? No, obviously, many people reject him. Many people might try following him for a while and abandon him. And so we have to be faithful to the end. The Bible says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Are you willing to spend your entire life, no matter what the cost, following Jesus Christ? And obviously we don't know the future, but I hope that everyone here today, right now, would be willing to do that. That no matter what cost is involved, and thankfully we have a lot of freedom here in America, we're very blessed. There's many people around the world that suffer greatly just not even having the material luxuries that we have here in the United States, or maybe facing persecution for being a Christian. But are we willing to pay the price? And so you think about those things there in Luke chapter 14, just a couple of brief thoughts. But I want us to just think about the cost involved. And maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, I know Christ is my Savior, but I struggle with surrendering everything to him. Maybe I haven't been out compelling people and I haven't sensed the urgency that the Master obviously has. Maybe I've just sort of said, well, I'll do that when I get time. But he says, go out quickly and compel them to come in. So that's certainly a part of our responsibility, is that God wants his house full. And we don't know how many people that really involves. And so we have to keep going every day, every year of our life, having that burden for people, going out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's part of our responsibility. But do we count the cost? Do we help others that we are reaching out to count the cost? He says, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to be willing to bear the cross. If you don't hate certain things, or that is, prefer me above other things, you cannot be my disciple, he says. And so we have to be willing to sit down and sort of analyze our own life and realize that there is a great cost involved, which means making choices, giving up our will for the will of God. But we know that the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understandings, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, I'm sure you can look back and testify that when I do that, when I let God have full control of my life, well, he just directs and leads, and I see him work in my life, and it's a great blessing. And that's the joy of serving the Lord, is that when we're willing to pay the price, giving up our own will for his will, he can use us in a great way. And there is no greater joy. Just like the Bible says that when Christ came to this earth, it said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He was looking ahead and realizing this is something that I have to do. I have to do the Father's will, but it was a joy to him. And when we look, we might say, well, giving up certain things in this life, paying that price might be hard, but think about the joy in front of us when we surrender to the Lord and see Him work. And no matter what the cost involved, we have to be willing to pay that price, or we really can't be a true disciple, can we? And so I trust that this night, tonight, we'll think about the Master wants His house full. He wants us to compel people. He wants us to sense the urgency involved with that, to get the message out around the world. And you do a great job of that through your missions program. I hope, though, that each and every one of us do that on an individual basis, that those are the kind of people that God can then call to go to other places, people who are serving Him right here in their home place. And God will touch that heart. If He wants to lead you to some other place, He'll make that clear. Go here or serve me here. But if we're not serving Him here in our homeland, our hometown, it's pretty hard to begin doing that in a foreign country where you're dealing with different languages and different cultures. But then realize there is a great cost involved. We don't have time to look at it, but you go on into the next chapter and you see God's great joy when people are willing to surrender to Him. And there's great joy involved in God's own heart and in our own lives. That's where true joy is, when we serve the Lord with all of our heart. Let's bow in a word of prayer.